never rests.
Counting colors in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
What is up, everybody? It's the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. Been a while since I've been on the Georgia Show, I think, a couple weeks here, but I'm back. And listen, it's presented by American Pride Bank, brand new partner, presenting sponsor of the Georgia Show twice a week now, and we are very happy to have them. Spring practice is kicking up, and there's going to be more Georgia shows now, and American Pride is on top of all of them. Listen, Community Bank, your trusted partner, all the services you need, all the services you could possibly ever want in a bank, they provided. American Pride Bank is the bank for small business owners who want local, fast, and flexible solutions. Whether you're looking for a loan or you need to expand your everyday banking needs, they've got you covered. You'll always talk to a decision maker, and you can visit them in Athens, Alpharetta, or online at AmericanPrideBank.com. Trusted partner and member of the FDIC, Equal Opportunity Lender as well. And if you want a little quick look at their website, that's exactly what they look like. So go check them out. And Rusty, we got a lot to talk about, man. It's a brand new Georgia show. It's a brand new day in a couple of sports, it seems like. Georgia's streaking on the diamond. They're streaking on the hardwood. But first, let's get to spring practice because that's what's next. It's a Thursday, so we got 4 or 5 days until Kirby kicks off spring practice with a few more injuries than we thought they had and all this stuff. Can't wait to hear them. But that's where we're at. So let's talk about spring practice and your concerns. Any concerns that you might have heading into this spring for the Bulldogs?
No, I don't have concerns. I got questions, but I don't think I go into this going worried about, what in that term concerns. I think there's a lot of opportunity. I think Georgia fans, some of them are concerned because you lost so much and all that. I kind of look at it as this is opportunity, man. I mean, you look at the O-line and lost a lot of guys with a lot of starts, but the guys behind them were heavily recruited too. You win all these battles for these kids. Now, I would imagine Kirby Smart would love to play guys with more experience, but Jake, I'm not sure those days are few and far between now, probably. You're going to play these younger guys. You're going to bring them in and have to throw them in the mix. Like KJ Bolden last year, he's got to be ready to go, and some of these guys, these younger guys, you take, a guy like Daniel Calhoun, who's a red shirt. It's his time. What minutes can he get on the offensive line? So yes, about concern. I'll give you a concern. If I haven't that term, I would say safety. You had to bring in three transfers, and that's not something that Georgia typically does on the defensive side of the ball. They brought in three guys at safety. There's a lot of reps there. And, Jake, for a lack of a better term there, you can't miss here. Like these guys have got to be able to play, and they got to be able to fill some minutes for you. Obviously Georgia went out and felt like they needed to get these guys to help that room to get some depth and the starter role. So I've mentioned it over and over again. I think I'm very curious on the offensive line positions, but I think I'm very interested on the safety positions, who takes those minutes. Because if you lose Dan Jackson and Malachi Starks, you lose a lot of reps. And, Jake, I don't think people mention enough, you lose two extremely smart football players in that back end that played a lot of minutes for Georgia.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Even though I do like the fact they got Jonell Aguero and Ja'Cory Thomas coming back, and if they just keep Chris Peel healthy enough to rep, I think he's a guy that can help them too. But that's where Georgia kind of got into it with guys leaving and needing to bring guys in. It was kind of like, all right, well, we have two guys coming back with a little bit of experience, so we've got another guy coming back that we've got, that hasn't been able to be healthy enough to kind of learn the spot. So we got to have something. And they kind of stocked that room with guys that had experience. I would say, Rusty, and I'm going to pose a scenario to you because this is a chain reaction deal. We're looking at the offensive line, and we're looking at, the defensive line, and most notably the edge position, edge and defensive end. This is where I'm concerned. No Gabe Harris. Christian Miller's banged up. Not going to go through spring. So you're talking about your defensive front. Who's going to practice against that defensive front all spring? The offensive line. Are they going to get challenged like they need to get challenged? I mean, there's a lot of talent down there. I get it. But that's kind of my concern, is like the number of bodies they've got at outside backer, edge, defensive line to challenge those guys up front. Because I'm of the opinion, all right, we sit here and we dog this offensive line all of last year, right? Like, it wasn't very good. It struggled all year. It was banged up. Whatever. No excuses. Well, there's new blood now. If those guys didn't play well last year, they probably, you know, what's to say they were going to come back and play well this year? So now you got some new blood up there. I'm not concerned about newness or anything like that. I'm just kind of concerned about the injury situation where you're already thin, impacting the position on the other side of the ball, in addition to what you're dealing with at that potential spot too.
Yeah, and I've made it known, and I don't think it's I think exactly what you're talking about there. Body-wise, too, numbers-wise, I think Georgia's going to be very active in the May window for portal at edge. I think they're going to bring in a guy. I think the number one position in the portal right now in May that Georgia's going to be heavily involved with is going to be edge. And doesn't mean they're trying to bring in a starter. Hell, they'll bring in if it's a fit, but I think they're trying to bring in guys like they did at safety, guys that have played, guys that have reps, guys that have that body size. It's also going to be an attractive position because, like you said, Jake, with those guys out, you're like, who's going to take the reins and be like, I'm the dog here. I'm the alpha here. So you're not going to have those reps from those guys this spring. So, you know, if you're Georgia and you're talking to somebody in the portal, you go, hey, look, man, this job is really wide open. And oh, by the way, the last couple of guys in this position have went number one, have went in the first round. So we've got a little bit of history there. So I think Georgia is going to be very attractive in the edge room. You know, it's kind of based on who comes. And you also look at the time, and you can't get anybody from the SEC school. So you have to look outside the SEC, and maybe is there a fit there, somebody else. So it's one of those deals where, you know, just this go time, man. I'm excited for these guys, and a couple more days of spring break and get these guys back in. Boy, I'm dreading that Sunday run for them, man.
When does the spring portal window open?
It's like 10 days in the. I have to go back and look at that.
I don't know. I just got really interested in the fact of kind of figuring out, all right, when's the portal? When's that window open as compared to the NFL draft? You know, because hey, I mean, Georgia's going to get some free advertising there at the NFL draft, position that they really want. Yeah.
I would imagine Nolan Smith gave them some extra advertising. Sure.
You got Nolan Smith, you got Trayvon Walker. See, I George is not just looking at outside backer here. Like this has kind of morphed into a little bit of a different spot than it used to be. This is an edge. This is a Georgia wants to play with kind of three defensive linemen and an outside backer. And there's an edge spot there that's kind of morphed into a hybrid outside backer edge spot. Mikael Williams, Trayvon Walker played it. Nolan Smith played it. Azeez Ojulari. You know, you look at those guys and they kind of fit in there. So that's why I kind of look at it, because, you know, you talk about them looking for edge. I think they'll probably look for a pure outside linebacker type if they can get one, but they'll also probably look for one of those guys that can put his hand on the ground and kind of be and play that same role, kind of like Gabe Harris has been able to do, to play a little DN and to play a little outside backer.
April 16th to the 25th, so that's 10 business days. So it'll be over before me.
So I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Rusty, I believe that cuts off in the middle of the NFL draft, because the NFL draft is right around, I think the NFL draft starts on the 24th.
Yeah. So that's
– yeah.
Yeah. 24th. I don't think – I think after the combine, the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You go, Georgia.
It just kind of hit my – you know, like
– yeah. Hey, yeah, it's right there. What's interesting is that last time, Jake, that was open until like May the 15th. That mm-hmm. window has been shrunk to 10 days. And listen, I talked to a lot of college coaches, and they all want to get rid of that May one. They all want to get rid of this second portal window. Yeah. Some schools don't, but most of the people I talk to want to get rid of that one. I guarantee mm-hmm. you this. I've said it on Twitter. If they get rid of this second portal window, watch what happens to spring games. Spring games will just magically come right back.
Yeah, right back. Yeah,
they'll be right back. You know what I mean? And it's not.
Yeah, all of a sudden, 15 games isn't too much anymore. At least Matt Rhule just flat out and said it. You know,
I mean, they don't want to release a depth chart. They don't want to have somebody not starting on TV, because here's the thing: if Rusty Mansell is the number two corner, he thinks, and he winds up not starting in the spring game opposite of the guy that he thinks is ahead of him. Well, guess what? His agent is in his ear going, "You're not even in the two deep, dude. You got to get out of there." And I'm telling you right now, that's what's happening. And these schools are not wanting to have to put somebody in a position. And, you know, there's a lot of different twists and turns. But if they get rid of this this second window, transfer, you watch what happens. Spring games, and just some schools are going to say no. Some schools are going to go, okay, let's get rid of it and do some OTA stuff. But, you know, I feel certain that you get those back and spring games will be, they'll be good to go.
Tell you what I'm interested to see, man, and this is apropos to nothing. We could talk about it all day long. I'm really interested to see if there's ever going to be a trickle-up effect on this being able to move anytime you want to move. And then you get to the NFL, and it's not going to – I don't think it's going to be this way for like the first-round picks, anything like that. They're making tons of money, whatever. But you get down to those third- and fourth-round picks that over that just blow up right to start with, and – I mean, you know, like they have a good rookie season, and I wonder when that first guy is going to be like, man, I went wherever I wanted to when I was in college. I want to go somewhere and make some money right now. I'm only making $600,000 a year. I deserve $6 million. So I'm wondering when that kind of is going to happen. And we're already seeing some of what you talked about, which was, hey, 17-year-old six-figure incomes, 18-year-old six-figure incomes is tough to manage for some of these dudes, and we've already seen some of that. So all of that's really interesting to me. And, you know, you look at spring practice, man, and that spring window. I will say this, that 10-day window, all they got to do is get in. It's not, there's no big rush to commit to a school. You've got the summer. Usually kids have May off. So, again, that NFL draft is going to be another advertisement for Georgia without question, because some guys are going to get in during that 10-day period that don't end up making decisions until after the portal's closed. That's just kind of how it works.
A name, I have no idea if there's any. I don't even know if Georgia's probably a little thinner at running back than they would like to be. I'm not sure that Georgia would take a running back in the spring window. Just a name that popped up this week, and I happen to be familiar with him, is Tony Mathis, the running back out of Cedartown, who was at Houston. Now, he had a really good, I think, three years at West Virginia. Started 14, 15 games up there. Winds up transferring to Houston. Don't really know the deal. Then he got hurt last year and missed the entire season. He goes into the portal like two nights ago as a graduate. And I text somebody from Cedartown and said, can he get in the portal right now? They're like, yeah, he can officially get in because he's a graduate. So you're going to start seeing some of these graduate guys. Their names are going to pop up. So you're going to, you know, the portal window is actually, what, April 15th, but you're going to start seeing some guys before then. If you see those guys, those are graduate transfers. So being interested to see as these names start to build up.
Yeah, and like you said, expect Georgia to be involved, take at least one edge type player in the –
They're taking one. I would be shocked if they don't take at least one edge.
I would too. There's enough buzz around that one at this point that you kind of get there. And, you know, listen, those are kind of our concerns for spring. I put a piece up over at Dogs HQ yesterday, my three questions, and I'll go ahead and put my biggest one out there because I think it's the most all-encompassing. There is a huge group. Georgia did, for all of the talk you want to do about recruiting classes and everything else, Georgia did a phenomenal job this year, Rusty, of holding on to its freshmen. And they've got a huge, like a massive group of second-year players moving on. I'm talking about like five or six offensive linemen, four or five defensive linemen, three big-time linebackers, secondary guys, guys like Nate Frazier and K.J. Bolden that have already broken through and are in a big part of things. Chris Cole falls in that as well. But a lot of other guys that were super highly recruited, and that's one of the big things there too. So come on over to Dogs HQ, check it out. We got a lot there to cover spring practice, and we're going to continue to have a lot of it as well. Listen, a guy that's had a lot of love for us is Andy Ludeke over at MyPerfectFranchise.net. If you're a displaced corporate executive, or if you are looking for a new start or a new challenge, and you want to kind of take your life and your career in your own hands, Andy's your guy. Check him out. Hit him up on his website. Give him a call. He will figure out where you need to be and where you can be successful. He's got a thorough consultation process. He's very hands-on, and his services are free to you. They're 100% free to you. So go check him out, MyPerfectFranchise.net, and he's a big-time college sports fan, and we talk with him from time to time and get to hear these success stories. There's a lot of them, guys. There are a lot of them, and I'm hoping sometime maybe in the next year or so we can get him on here and talk about some of the folks that have reached out from Dogs HQ and you know, gotten their business and gotten their ideas and their visions off the ground via MyPerfectFranchise.net. All right, Hoop Dogs and the Diamond Dogs are both streaking. Where do you want to start?
I think I got to start with the Hoop Dogs because, I mean, they're in the fourth quarter, literally, backs are against the wall. I'd single-handedly take a little bit of credit for going to the Florida game, and I helped them turn it around that night with the juju. I had to go over there and get all that stuff off from my Tennessee trip for the second half up there. But Silas Demery, I can't say enough about this kid. I mean, what he looks extremely confident. That little 15-foot jumper that he is, whatever's going on with him right now, and he is – they're just man of effort. They get loose balls. I mean, this team is playing as competent as they have been. You know, kind of – I'm not going to say like I'm the basketball expert, but I played enough basketball to know and coached enough back in the day to know when you see effort. You watched that Georgia-Texas game the other night, which was a huge game, and Texas wanted no part of that. And Georgia diving for every loose ball. I mean, they jumped on Texas. I don't know if you can say it anymore, but kind of put their foot on their throat early in the game. And Texas looked like they were tapped out to me. Like that, you know, two teams heading in opposite directions. And you look at Georgia carrying that over to South Carolina on the road. And man, I'm excited for Saturday, but damn, I'm excited for next week with this SEC basketball tournament and seeing. I don't know all the projections. I saw one projection, Jake, that if Georgia beats Vandy Saturday, they're looking at like a 7 or 8 seed in the tournament, regardless of what happens next week. And that to me, you go from the last 4 in or last 4 out, you know, a week and a half ago to a 7 seed. It tells you that how much of a run they're on. But I think loose balls, offensive rebounds. It amazes me how many key offensive rebounds Blue Kane gets. Like that guy, I mean, he's 6'4½", whatever he is, but he goes up and gets, it seems like every game, 2 or 3 key offensive rebounds. A lot of effort, and man, I'm excited. It's fun to watch him right now, man.
It is, and the thing that, you know, listening to you talk about it, it's like it's kind of like you talk about some of the good basketball teams that Georgia's had to run into down the stretch in recent years, right? You know, they're getting contributions from a lot of different guys. And listen, I think Asa Newell's kind of has a little bit run out of gas.
Like, he has been
the catalyst, the energizer bunny, everything for Georgia all year long in terms of energy, passion, and all that stuff. And I think he's a little dead leg right now. I think he needs some time. I don't have concerns about him going forward. I just think he's hitting a little bit of a freshman wall because of everything he's had to do. I think we saw Silas and Blue Kane kind of do that last year. But the way, you know, you go back to that Florida game, I think it was, Rusty, you got 5 assists out of Justin Abson. Okay. You come out the next week, you got 6 assists out of Tyron Lawrence, who is getting very little talk, but since he's come back from that injury, Georgia's won all 3 games. He's moved in to DeShane Montgomery, and then, you know, that he's provided some good minutes, has been able to take care of the basketball, hitting everything from the free throw line. So you're getting so – Dylan James is another. The other night, South Carolina cuts it to 6 points. Dylan James comes up with a 3-point play to basically put the game away.
Off of two rebounds. He had a miss and got the ball back.
That's right. Yeah. He the miss and the put back. So it's just, I mean, when you're looking at each and every night, somebody different. So you got to have a constant, and that's been Silas Demery. He's been the guy that's been there every night. Even Asa Newell, not quite himself the past few games in terms of putting up points, is still going double digits. Blue Kane's going double digits, 13-9 the other night. You talked about the rebounding. That truly is unbelievable how much better of a rebounder he's been of late. And I think it's been since Georgia got into that bye week, since they got into that midweek bye and they had a chance to kind of work on some things, it seems like they've done a better job of getting their guards on the boards. Their bigs are more focused on boxing out, and the guards are going to the glass and actually getting the rebounds. And then, you know, Silas Demery's just – he's on a heck of a stretch right now. He's averaging like 20 points a game for 7 games, but it's been much different the past 3 or 4. And I think that's where it all comes together, is you've got your constant and then somebody stepping up every single night to help him out.
Last two things I'll say is Silas Demery, he just looks confident. Like, he wants the ball. Like, give me the ball. I want it in my hands. And you know, his 3-point shooting's been great, but that 15-foot jumper he's been hitting, he's been – But, man, I don't know why, but when they do that pick and roll, that high pick and roll with Asa Newell, I don't know why he does not take the ball to the hole. Because when he takes the ball to the hole with his left hand, how strong he is. So strong. Dude, I'm telling you, that's the guy. And they did it two or three times early against Texas, and they got away from it. Obviously, it's working. But down the line, you know, when defenses in these tournaments and these stuff's going to pick up, I mean, you're going to need those tough buckets. And, I love to see him put the ball on the floor and get to the hole because he's hell. And it's hard to guard somebody that tall and left-handed too. I think he's got his best days ahead of him, obviously. But I'm excited, man. Excited for this game on Saturday. Another tough team. You see games last night. Ole Miss beats Tennessee. Florida goes on the road and beats Alabama. I'm telling you. I know everybody's on Auburn, and they should be, but I'm telling you right now, I would not want to play Florida in the big tournament.
No, I've seen Florida. Oh. I've seen both teams up close and personal. Ooh. I have, okay? Auburn will wreck you in a heartbeat. Okay, yeah. They are athletic. And I didn't see them with Johnny Broom in person, they're awesome. Auburn is incredible.
Yeah.
But there's something suffocating about Florida with that size, with that name. They got something. They've got something there that's very, very dangerous. I think they are, believe it or not, I think they're a worse matchup for Georgia, even though Georgia was able to beat.
I would agree.
Georgia just got so hot early in that game that it built a lead that when Florida got hot, it didn't get away from them.
Yeah.
Against Auburn, Georgia hung around for all 40 minutes in both games. They were kind of traded punches with them both games. I just think. Watching that, Florida can definitely put the clamps on you. But I want to jump back to something real quick before I move to baseball. You talked about, Silas Demery wanting the ball. That's something that we haven't really seen from a primary ball handler at Georgia since J.J. Frazier, Sundiata Gaines, those types of players.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to – it's something that's kind of becoming a little bit contagious. Blue Kane comes off the bench against Florida. He hits that three. He comes in against South Carolina the other night. I think the game was pretty tight. He hits a three. He comes back down the floor, and he's like, give me the ball. Give me the ball. He had a guy in his face. Give me the ball. Grabs it, shoots it, hits another three right in the guy's grill. And that's the kind of swagger that Georgia's playing with right now. And we haven't seen that in a long, long time. It's a lot of fun to watch. I know Georgia fans are real excited about it. I don't know about the projections either, but I tell you this. If Georgia gets to 21, 22 wins, I do not know how you keep them with that schedule from being like a 7 seed. I know the tournament. I know the tournament committee isn't always prone to putting a lot of emphasis on the tournament on the conference tournaments. But when you talk about what Georgia can do at the end of the season, if it can get this win against Vanderbilt and turn that into a 5 or 6 game win streak. Listen, that 7-10 matchup is where you want to be, but you want to be on the good side of it if you can possibly get there. You'd love to get down to a 6 if possible, but I think that's a very, very long shot.
Look, as long as Georgia's been out of the tournament all these years, you're just – if I told you 2 weeks ago Georgia's going to be a 10 seed, you're like, let's roll. You know what I mean? Let's roll and do that. So
I remember the days when 12 used to get a win every single year.
Pick a 5 and 12.
Yeah,
I always pick a 5 and 12. Down.
Somebody, I read a story about it. Somebody did an analysis of it, and there was a time, like I think it was between like 94, 95, and 2005 or something, where it happened something crazy. I think it happened like 16 times in years or something. It was crazy.
I remember a couple of years ago, Bobby Lamb was the head coach still at Mercer football, and he called me one day, and he goes, "Hey, you picking your bracket?" And I said, "Yeah, coach, I'm going to pick my bracket." He goes, "Let me tell you something. I've seen this Florida Gulf Coast team play us."
Yeah.
He goes, "You wait and see how good this team is." I'm like,
"That's funny."
I'm like, "What is the hell is Florida Gulf Coast, coach?" And he goes, "You wait, Rusty." He goes, "I'm telling you right now, this team, and I'd be damned if Florida Gulf Coast did not come out and was the Cinderella story of the whole." But he saw them in person.
What was it? Was it Elite
Eight? And pushed. I can't remember, but they were bombing on people. Those three point teams, and I just remember him calling me, going, "I'm telling you." And I think I might have picked them. I don't know if I did or not, but I didn't. I love you to death, Coach Lamb, but I don't think I took you that serious. But I mean, like for a college football coach to call me and tell you, I'm telling you right now, this team is for real. By God, if they weren't, and But Florida Gulf Coast, man, that was and all the parity in the NCAA bracket now, the tournament, you start talking about a 5 and a 12 and a 3 and a 14. I'm telling you, you know, the 90s, those were few and far between, man. It's happening every year now just because of the parity. And I always, my little sneaky trick is I always try to find that team that's got like those five seniors, you know, like a Miami of Ohio, and they've got like six dudes that are 23 years old. You know what I mean? Those are the teams. If they run through those like OVC conferences and some of those teams, they're like 34-2. You hadn't really seen them play. Go look at their roster, and it shows like five seniors, or you know, four seniors and one junior. Those are the teams that usually make a dent in the first round because they're experienced and they're older teams. Auburn's obviously well documented how old they are. I think Palmer plays for Auburn, as a matter of fact. But hey, it is what it is, and it's working. But you find an older team, and those are the teams, older guys. Listen,
Georgia's going to have that opportunity. Georgia's going to have that opportunity next year. Mike White's got to put his recruiting hat on. He's got to maybe say, hey, Ace Anul, listen, I don't know if you're a lottery pick or not, dude. We need you back. And then
they're going to pay for that one now.
Yeah, pay for that one. You know, Silas Demery, get Blue Kane back, get Dylan James to come back. I mean, Georgia's got a chance to get a veteran team there.
Dominique Wilkinson coming in from Grayson, too. I will tell you, though, but Georgia, the run they're on, if they can make any dent right here, and he can show these guys, because it's portal now, too, in college basketball. So they keep this core roster together and bring in one or two. If they lose Asa, which is likely going to happen, you bring in one or two guys, some experience, and you can use that money on those guys. You know, that'd be invaluable to basketball.
And there's so many guys, as we found out, that you know, they leave the state, they go play ball, they develop, and they get better, and then, you know, they can come back and help Georgia out. You know, Godfrey, LaFue, you know, all of those guys, and they've been good role players, and I think Georgia can step that up and get better players, you know. But getting guys like Godfrey to come back next year, who's kind of struggled down the stretch a little bit, RJ Godfrey, and some of that's what Georgia's got to have. Let's talk about baseball here real quick, where every single night Georgia's having to come back from a big deficit, and for 12 straight games, every time they've had to come back from a deficit, they've got it done. Come from behind win the other night. They blew a 5-0 lead, went down 9-4, and then came back and won 16-10. Rusty, I'll say this. This time last year, everybody was worried, hey, I know we can hit, but can we pitch enough to get to the NCAA tournament? I think they're in better shape this year pitching than they were last year. And I don't really have any concerns for this team. They're figuring out ways to win these early games. And I think that once they kind of tighten that pitching staff up and get to their core guys, they're going to be a much better baseball team and a lot tougher to beat. They're just getting a lot of at-bats and a lot of reps in the field right now for a lot of guys.
Not trying to be the baseball guy. I love baseball, and I get into baseball once basketball is done. However, I did watch some of the game yesterday, and because Jeremy Johnson, who's running our live threads on Dogs HQ, covered baseball for us, doing a great job. He tweets out like Georgia's down 9-3 to Georgia State, and I'm like, let me find out what's going on. I turn on ESPN and watch it, and you know, see, same thing. Georgia's dropping bombs and really good team. And Jake, I would assume that the SEC is as good as it always is in baseball, and it's going to come down to those three game series and who's hot at the end. But some people I know that are heavily involved with the baseball side, the transfers they got, they invested in the NIL side of baseball. Obviously, you know, Josh Brooks and those guys with the new additions to the baseball complex there, the new softball training facility over there. So I'd be shocked if Georgia is not very, very competitive in baseball and softball. We start looking toward the spring sports as everybody turns that attention. But I look forward to it, man. I'm going to cover a baseball game. Can I cover a baseball game? Jake, are you going to allow me to go over and cover one?
Yeah, you go to any baseball game you want to go. I don't care.
I'm going to cover a baseball game this year.
I used to love covering baseball, but I tell you I've lost my patience for it for college baseball. Because I was covering it during the NCAA tournament last year, because Palmer was out of town, and it was during the regional. Yeah, it was during the regional. Man, I was like, can y'all please throw strikes? Like, can we can we throw some strikes around here? Like, I understand you're really wanting to hump up and throw it 96 miles an hour, but let's throw the ball over the damn plate, please. And let's get out of here. I've been here for 3 hours. It's the seventh inning. Like, I mean, I'm watching Dylan Carter out there draw. Dylan Carter played outfield for Georgia last year. And in the SEC tournament, he got on in his first eight at-bats with five walks and three hit by pitch.
They've got a time limit now in these midweek games, right? See that? 3 hours. Yeah, dude. I mean, yesterday.
And these non-cons on the weekend, they've got curfews as well. So, the other day, they couldn't start an inning after a certain amount of time. Georgia batted around and a half against somebody. I think it was against Chicago, University of Chicago, Illinois. And they batted around and ran the clock out on the start in the next inning. And so when it was over, Georgia had won the game and they just walked off. But they can't really do that in the NCAA tournament. They can't do that in league play. So there we go. And you just got to throw. I mean, that's one thing that's hard to about college baseball. If you're in person, is these guys are trying to throw so hard now and his spin rate and all this stuff. And I get it. They're working means to an end. But dang, it is tough to sit there and watch guys, six guys out of eight batters walk and two runs come in and all that stuff. It's just
shout out to Davis Chastain, young man from Rome, Georgia. Yesterday, I think I watched him pitch for the first time. He's a transfer from Georgia State. So he pitched, he came in like 9-7. Georgia's down. He comes in, first two batters get a hit. And I was like, oh boy, he's facing his old team. Is he pressing too hard? Strikes out the next two batters and gets a ground ball to second. So excited to watch one of my locals here play for Georgia. But transferred from Georgia. I think Georgia has five transfers from Georgia State. So they were trying to beat Georgia yesterday on that. But shout out Davis Chastain, Model High School, man, Rome, Georgia.
Man, it's going to be fun to watch. And the SEC is absolutely loaded. I believe Justin Hokanson at our Auburn site tweeted out the other day, it's wild to be number 22 in the country and 11th in your own league.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or something like that. It may have been like 8th in your own league. I don't want to misquote him. But, I think four of the top five teams in the country right now are in the SEC. Georgia's number five, and you got Arkansas, Florida, a bunch of other teams up there, Tennessee's up there. And if you want to know how weird and how drunk college baseball is, I looked up at the score the other night when Georgia was playing South Carolina in basketball. It came across the bottom line. Tennessee was playing Radford, and it was 9-9 in the fourth inning. So that's college baseball for you. Nobody's out there throwing shutouts midweek. They're trying to get as many pitchers and as many guys they can work in the field and stuff like that, probably playing some crappy defense. And I can't imagine what it's like to watch those midweek games as compared to, some of the ones that I'm complaining about. But listen, we're not complaining about a whole lot of anything when it comes to football and coverage, because the spring practice is coming up, and 15 practices in all, 12 practices, three scrimmages. It'll all culminate in G-Day. We're going to have all of that covered for you at Dogs HQ. We'll be back with you Sunday night for another episode of the Georgia Show. But for this one, that's all we got. I'm Jake. He's Rusty. Y'all take it easy.